Hey friends, I hope you're having a good Thursday as we head into Philippians chapter 2. And just to give you kind of an overview before we get into what I want to talk to you about today is Paul talks in the second chapter of Philippians to the people of Philippi about being humble and humility. And then he talks about Jesus being the perfect example of humility. We'll come back to that in a minute. He talks about doing things without complaining, so containing our complaining. So maybe if you're someone and if you're really honest with yourself, you say, well, I complain a lot, then verse 14 is going to be huge for you, and even moving into verse 15 and 16. So just so you know, that might be there for you if you find yourself complaining about your circumstances. And going back to the beginning in talking about humility, in verse 3, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I tell you what, that's a hard challenge that Paul gives to the church in Philippi, and a hard challenge that we are given is to do nothing out of selfish ambition and to have the humility to the point of putting others before us. I've often used the word picture of being back in kindergarten, where all the kids wanted to be the line leader. And we learn very early that being in the front, being in front and center, getting the most attention, making it all about us is what we should do. We learn that from an early age. And we're taught that all the time by society, that humility is not a virtue that we need to really worry about. But the Word of God says something completely different. He talks here next about relationships, and I just want to read this section to you. There is a key theological point I want to make in this. He says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, verse 7, he made himself nothing. And if you look at the literal translation of the word nothing here, then it means emptied. He made himself emptied or completely poured out. So he gave up everything. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, I don't know how often you think about it, but I think we need to often think about the amount of humility that God showed in coming and living on earth as a human. Thinking about the glory of God, the perfection of God, the beauty of God, for him to humble himself to the point of coming and saying, I'm going to have my son walk this earth and he's going to be one of you. He's going to learn about the human experience from being a human, fully human and yet fully God and perfect. But Jesus, as we know from scriptures, he had problems in his life. He had temptation that came his way. But he never gave into it. But what humility God showed by coming to earth as a man, even becoming obedient to death. And it says, even death on a cross. Now, that phrase, even death on a cross, is important because the Greeks and the Romans had a really hard time accepting Jesus as the Messiah because they didn't think that God could suffer, or that God would humble himself to that point. They didn't feel that was in the character of God, but God loves us so much that He said, I'm willing to do even that. This was the epitome of humiliation for the Romans and Greeks, was to be crucified. So in the very most humiliating way, to be stripped, beaten, and hung on a cross, to think that our God was willing to do that, to be obedient to the point of even dying on a cross, a lot of people couldn't wrap their heads around. Now listen to this next part, and this is what we will end on today, because verses 9 through 11 have incredible theological impact to what we believe. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So this makes so clear here where we get our theology that says there's not many ways to heaven, or that it's not about which God you serve. It says very clearly here, and this may be a reference to Isaiah chapter 45. As I turn back to Isaiah 45, 23 and 24, it says, by myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked, right? It will not be revoked. You can't change this. Before me, every knee will bow. By me, every tongue will swear. That would be confess. And they will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. So this cultural Christianity that says there are other gods you can serve, just be a good person, you can make it to heaven, this very clearly makes it just abundantly positive that everyone at the name of Jesus will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and confess that Jesus is Lord. People who accept Jesus on this earth, people who die without knowing him, will still recognize, they'll have no other choice than to recognize that Jesus is who he says he is. And who did Jesus say he is? Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Huge theological statement. Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to freedom. And maybe you have been listening to these new and 22s and you don't know if you're saved. You don't know where you stand with God, but you're intrigued. I want to encourage you today just to pray to God and say, God, I'm yours. I believe in your son, Jesus. And I trust in what you did on the cross was enough to eradicate all of my sin, to take away all of my sin, so that I can be with you when I die. I'm yours, Lord. And if you pray, it's not about a magic prayer, but if you've made a profession of your faith and meant that in your heart, then you are saved. You don't have to worry about what happens when you die. We will all confess that Jesus is Lord. And those of us who do that while we have life, while we have breath in our lungs, will be ushered into paradise when we die. I hope that's encouraging to you today. And I'll be back with you tomorrow for Philippians chapter 3.